Loving wife, you shall understand how all things have passed with me from the time of mine absence from you. We set sail with 5 ships from Holland, the 24th of June 1598, and at last it was resolved to go for Japan, for by report of one Dirk Gerritsen, which had been there with the Portugals, woolen cloth was in great estimation in that island. The 11th of April 1600, we saw the land of Japan, near unto Bungo, at which time there were no more but 5 men of us able to go. The 12th of April we came hard unto Bungo, where many barks came aboard us, the people whereof we willingly let come, having no force to resist them, at which place we came to an anchor. The people offered us no hurt, but stole all things they could steal, for which some paid dear afterwards. 2 or 3 days after, our ship was brought into a good harbour, there to abide till the principal king of the whole island had news of us, and until it was known what his will was to do with us. After we had been there for 5 or 6 days, came a Portugal Jesuit, with other Portugals, who reported of us that we were pirates, and were not in the way of merchandising. This report caused the governors and common people to think ill of us, in such manner that we looked like we would be set upon crosses, which is the execution in this land for thievery and some other crimes. Thus daily, more and more, the Portugals incensed the justices and people against us. Nine days after our arrival, the great king of the land sent for me to come unto him. So, taking one man with me, I went to him, taking my leave of our captain and all the others that were sick. I was carried in one of the king's galleys to the court at Osaka, where the king lay, about 80 leagues from the place where the ship was. And so the 12th of May 1600 I came to the great king's city, who caused me to be brought into the court, being a wonderful costly house gilded with gold in abundance. Coming before the king, he viewed me well, and seemed to be wonderful favourable. He made many signs unto me, some of which I understood and some I did not. In the end, there came one that could speak Portuguese. By him, the king demanded of me of what land I was, and what moved us to come to his land, being so far off. I showed unto him the name of our country, and that our land had long sought out the East Indies, and desired friendship with all the kings in way of merchandise, having in our land diverse commodities which these lands had not, and also to buy such merchandises in this land which our country had not. Then he asked whether our countries had wars. I answered him, yea, with the Spaniards and the Portugals, being in peace with all other nations. Further, he asked me in what did I believe. I said, in God, that had made heaven and earth. He asked me divers other questions of things of religion and many other things, for example, what way we came to the country. Having a chart of the whole world, I showed him through the Strait of Magellan. At this he wondered and thought me to lie. Thus, from one thing to another, I abode with him till midnight. In the end, I desired that we might have trade of merchandise, as the Portugals and Spaniards had. To this he made me an answer, but what it was, I did not understand. So he commanded me to be sent to prison. There was a town in Spain where 650 of the 24,000 residents have the second name Japón, because they are descended from samurai, specifically the second Japanese embassy to Europe, which took place in 1613. But what secrets are there in your family lineage? Our sponsor today, MyHeritage, can help you find out. MyHeritage makes it simple and enjoyable to build your family tree and discover your origins. I knew about my Irish heritage, but as soon as I added some quick details about my parents and grandparents, I found a whole new family lineage in Australia. And my ancestry could be traced back remarkably far. I was able to get back to the 1680s. A couple more generations and I would be seeing my ancestors in Shakespeare's time, or indeed, the time of William Adams and John Serres. Here's a picture of one of my relatives I found from the 18th century, which is in the Scottish National Portrait Gallery. And this was possible because MyHeritage has more than 36 billion records and 90 million users. It really is the best service for this out there. And it was very easy to do. I managed to gather over 200 people in my family tree after barely 5 button clicks. So, enjoy a 14-day free trial of MyHeritage using the link in the description box or by scanning the QR code on the screen. Days I was in prison, hearing no more news, neither of our ship nor captain, whether he were recovered of his sickness or not, nor of the rest of the company, in which time I looked every day to die, to be crossed, as the custom of justice is in Japan, as hanging is in our land. In which long time of imprisonment, the Jesuits and the Portugals gave many evidences against me and the rest to the emperor, that we were the thieves and robbers of all nations, and were we suffered to live, it should be against the profit of His Highness and the land. But God, that is always merciful at need, showed mercy unto us, and would not suffer them to have their wills of us. In the end, the emperor gave them answer that as of yet we had not done to him, nor any one of his land, any harm or damage. Therefore it was against reason and justice to put us to death. If our countries had wars, the one with the other, that was no cause that he should put us to death. With which they were very out of heart, that their cruel pretense failed them, for which God be evermore praised. Now in this time that I was in prison, the ship was commanded to be brought near to the city where the emperor was. 41 days being expired, the emperor caused me to be brought before him again. In conclusion, he asked me whether I was desirous to go to the ship to see my countrymen. I answered very gladly, the which he bade me do. So I departed and was freed from imprisonment. With a rejoicing heart, I took a boat and went to our ship, where I found the captain and the rest recovered of their sickness. And when I came aboard, with weeping eyes was I received, for they understood that I was executed long since. From the ship all things were taken out, so that the clothes which I took with me on my back I only had. All my instruments and books were taken. I not only lost what I had in the ship, but from the captain and the company generally, what was good or worth the taking was carried away. All of this had been done unknown to the emperor, so in process of time, having knowledge of it, he commanded that they which had taken our goods should restore it to us back again. But it was here and there so taken that we could not get it again. So 50,000 in ready money was commanded to be given to us. In the end of 30 days, commandment came from the emperor that our ship should be carried to the easternmost part of the land, called Kanto, whither, according to his commandment, we were carried, the distance being about 120 leagues. Coming to the land of Kanto, and near to the city Edo, where the emperor was, being arrived, I sought all means by supplications to get our ship clear, and to seek our best means to come where the Hollanders had their trade. Also, in this time, 3 or 4 of our men rebelled against the captain and myself, and made a mutiny with the rest of our men, so that we had much trouble with them. They would abide no longer in the ship, but every one would be a commander, and every one wanted part of the money that was given by the emperor. It would be too long to write the particulars, but in the end the money was divided according to every man's place. But this was about 2 years after we'd been in Japan, and when we had been told that we should not have our ship, but to abide in Japan. And so the part of every one being divided, every man took his way where he thought best. Indeed, in the end, the emperor gave every man to live upon 2 pounds of rice a day, and yearly so much as was worth 11 or 12 ducats a year, myself, the captain, and mariners, all alike. The land of Japan is a great land. The people of this land of Japan are good of nature, courteous above measure, and valiant in war. Their justice is severely executed without any partiality upon transgressors of the law. They are governed in great civility, I mean, not a land better governed in the world by civil policy. For the most part, none goes to law one with the other, but if questions be between neighbour and neighbour, it is by justice commanded to be presently taken up, and friendship to be made without delay. No thief, for the most part, is put in prison, but presently executed. No murder, for the most part, can escape, for if so be the murderer cannot be found, the emperor commands a proclamation with a writing, and by the writing so much gold as is of value 300 sterling, and if any do know where the murderer is, he comes and collects the gold and goes his way without any further trouble. Thus, for the lust of so much money, it comes to light. And so in their cities you may go all over in the night without any trouble or peril, being a people well affected to strangers. For 4 or 5 years the emperor called me, as diverse times he had done before, and one time, above the rest, he would have me make him a small ship. I answered that I was no carpenter, and had no knowledge thereof. "Well, do your endeavour," said he. "If it be not good, it is no matter." Wherefore at this command, I built him a ship of the burden of 80 tons, or thereabout, this ship being made in all respects as our manner is. He coming aboard to see it, liked it very well, by which means I came in more favour with him, so that I often came in his presence, and he from time to time gave me presents, and at length a yearly stipend to live upon, about 70 ducats by the year, with 2 pounds of rice a day, daily. Now being in such grace and favour, by reason I taught him some points of geometry, and understanding of the art of mathematics with other things. Indeed I pleased him so, that what I said he would not contrary. At this my former enemies did wonder, and at this time entreated me to do them a friendship, and so to both Spaniards and Portugals have I done recompensing them good for evil. So to pass my time and to get my living, it hath cost me great labour and trouble at the first, but God has blessed my labour. And so, in the end of 5 years, I made supplication to the king to go out of this land, desiring to see my poor wife and children, according to conscience and nature. With this request, the emperor was not well pleased, and would not let me go any more for my country, but to bide in his land. Yet in the process of time, being in great favour with the emperor, I made supplication again, by reason that we had news that the Hollanders were in Xi'an. This rejoiced us much, with hope that God should bring us to our country again by one means or another. So I made supplication again, but by no means he would let me go. So I asked him leave for the captain, the which he presently granted me. In the end, the captain found a fleet of 9 sail, and in this fleet he was made master again. But the fleet sailed to Malacca and fought with an armada of Portugals, in which battle he was shot, and presently died. So that as yet, I think, no certain news is known at home, whether I be living or dead. Therefore, I do pray and entreat you in the name of Jesus Christ to do so much as to make my being here in Japan known to my poor wife, in a manner a widow, and my 2 children fatherless, which thing only is my greatest grief of heart and conscience. Therefore, may this letter come to any of their hands, or the copy, that my friends and kindred shall have news that I do as yet live in this vale of my sorrowful pilgrimage. Whether I shall ever come out of this land, I know not. Until this present there hath been no means. But now, through the trade of the Hollanders, there is means. In the year of our Lord 1609, 2 Holland ships came to Japan. Now, this year, 1611, there is a small ship arrived. This ship was wondrously well received. Indeed, you shall understand that the Hollanders have an indies of money. For in Japan, there is much silver and gold to serve for the Hollanders to handle where they will in the East Indies. I presume that amongst them, some, either merchants, masters or mariners, must needs know me. If it be that there come a ship near unto the easternmost part, let them inquire for me. I am called in the Japan tongue, Anjin-sama. By that name I am known all the seacoast along. Thus, in brief, I am constrained to write, hoping that by one means or another, in process of time, I shall hear of my wife and children, and so, with patience, I wait. The 9th of June, 1613, in the morning, we had sight of land, bearing north-northeast and six great islands. Then we steered north-northwest, and soon after came four great fisher boats aboard. They sailed with one sail, four oars on a side. They told us that we were before the entrance of Nagasaki. We agreed with two of the masters of the fisher boats, the 30 rials of eight apiece in money and rice for their food, to pilot us into Hirado, which agreement made, their people entered our ship and performed voluntarily their labour as readily as any of our mariners. One of the four boats which came aboard us did belong to the Portugals, living at Nagasaki, and were now Christians, and thought that our ship had been the Macau ship, but finding the contrary, would upon no entreaty stay. On the 11th, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we came to an anchor half a league short of Hirado, the tide so spent that we could not get further in. Soon after, I was visited by the old king Hoen-sama and his nephew Tone-sama, governor then of the land under the old king. They were attended with 40 boats or galleys. Only they entered the ship, both of them in silk gowns. Both of them had two katanas or swords of that country by his side, the one half a yard long, the other about a quarter. The four parts of their heads were shaven to the crown, and the rest of their hair, which was very long, was gathered together and bound up on a knot behind, wearing neither hat nor turban, but bareheaded. The king was aged about 72 years. His nephew or grandchild that governed under him was about 22 years. First, in presence of him whom they are to salute, they put off their shoes. Stockings there were none, and then clapping their right hand with their left, they put them down towards their knees. And so wagging or moving of their hands a little to and fro, they stooping, step with small steps, sidling from the party saluted, and cry, "Ah, ah." I led them into my cabin, where I prepared a banquet for them and a good consort of music, which much delighted them. They bade me welcome and promised me kind entertainment. I delivered our king's letters to the king of Hirado, which he received with great joy, saying he would not open it till Anjin came, who would interpret the same unto him. This Anjin is, in their language, a pilot, being one William Adams, an Englishman who, passing with a Fleming man through the South Sea, by mutiny and disorder of the mariners, remained in that country, and was seized upon by the Emperor about 12 years before. I wrote the same day to Master Adams, being then at Edo, which is very near 300 leagues from Hirado, to let him understand of our arrival. The king, having stayed aboard about an hour and a half, took his leave. He was no sooner ashore, but all of his nobility, attended with a multitude of soldiers, entered the ship. They did much admire our ship, and made as if they had never seen it sufficiently. But we being pestered with the number of these visitors, I sent to the king, requesting him that order might be taken to remove them, and to prevent any inconveniences that might happen. Indeed, there came continually such a world of people aboard, both men and women, as that we were not able to go upon the decks. Round about the ship was furnished with boats full of people. I gave leave to diverse women of the better sort to come into my cabin, where the picture of Venus, with her son Cupid, did hang somewhat wantonly set out in a large frame. They, thinking it to be Our Lady and her son, fell down and worshipped it, with shows of great devotion, telling me, in a whispering manner, that some of their own companions, which were not so, might not hear, that they were Christianos, whereby we perceived them to be Christians, converted by the Portugal Jesuits. The king came aboard again and brought 4 chief women with him. They were well-faced, handed and footed, clear-skinned and white, but wanting colour, which they amend by art. Of stature low, but very fat, very courteous in behaviour, not ignorant of the respect to be given unto person according to their fashion. The king's women seemed to be somewhat bashful, but he willed them to frolic. They sung diverse songs, and played upon certain instruments, whereof one did much resemble a lute. On the 13th, I went ashore, and delivered the presents to the king, amounting to the value of £140, or thereabout, which he received with very great kindnesses, and called for a standing cup. He caused it to be filled with his country's wine, which is distilled out of rice and is as strong as our agua vitae. And even though the cup held upwards of a pint and a half, notwithstanding taking the cup in his hand, he told me he would drink it all, for health to the King of England, and so did myself and all his nobles doing the like. The 1st of July, 2 of our company happened to quarrel the one with the other, and were very likely to have gone into the field, to the endangering of us all. For indeed it is a custom here, that whosoever draws a weapon in anger, although he does no harm therewith, he is presently cut to pieces. And doing but small hurt, not only themselves are so executed, but their whole generation. On the 8th, 3 Japanese were executed, vis-a-vis 2 men and 1 woman. The cause was this. The woman was none of the honestest, her husband being travelled from home, and had appointed these 2 their separate hours to repair unto her. The latter man, not knowing of the former, and thinking the time too long, came in before the hour appointed, finding the first man with her already, and enraged thereat, he whipped out his katana and wounded both of them very sorely. The street, taking notice of the fray, forthwith seized upon them, led them aside, and acquainted King Ho-in therewith, and sent to know his pleasure. He presently gave order that they should cut off their heads, which done, every man that listed, as very many did, came to try the sharpness of their katanas upon the corpse, so that before they left off, they had hewn all 3 into pieces as small as a man's hand. On the 29th, Mr. Adams arrived at Hirado, having been 17 days on the way coming from Sorongo, we having stayed here for his coming 48 days. After I had friendlily entertained him, I conferred with him in the presence of the merchants, touching the encouragement he could give of trade in these parts. He answered that it was not always alike, but sometimes better, sometimes worse, yet doubted not but we should do as well as the others, giving admirable commendations of the country, as much affected thereunto. The 7th of August, King Ho-in furnished me with a proper galley of his own, rowed with 25 oars on a side, and taking with me 10 English, I departed from Hirado towards the Emperor's court. We were rowed through and amongst diverse lands, all of which, or the most part of them, were well inhabited, and diverse proper towns built upon them, whereof one called Fukuoka has a very strong castle. I did land and dined there in the town. The town seemed to be as great as London is within the walls, very well built and even, so as you may see from the one end of the street to the other. The place is exceedingly peopled, very civil and courteous. The only problem, that at our landing, and so through the whole country, whithersoever we came, the boys, children, and worse sort of idle people, would gather about and follow along after us, crying, Kore, Kore, Kokore. That is to say, you Koreans with false hearts. A wandering, hooping, hollering, and making such a noise about us that we could scarcely hear one another speak, sometimes indeed throwing stones at us, but that not in many towns. The best advice that I can give those who hereafter shall arrive there is that they pass on without regarding this nonsense, and in so doing, they shall find their ears only troubled with the noise. We found Osaka to be a very great town, with many fair timber bridges of a great height, serving to pass over a river there as wide as the Thames of London. Some fair houses we found there, but not many. It's one of the chief seaports of all Japan, having a castle in it, marvellous, large and strong, with very deep trenches around it, and many drawbridges with gates plated with iron. When we approached any town, we saw crosses with the dead bodies of those who had been crucified thereupon. Crucifying here is an ordinary punishment for most malefactors. Coming near Sarunga, where the emperor's court is, we saw a scaffold with the heads of diverse people placed thereupon, and by it were diverse crosses with the dead of those which had been executed remaining still upon them, all of which caused a most unsavoury passage to us that to enter into Sarunga, one must needs pass by them. When John Saris arrived to Osaka, I made his coming known. At which time, presently, the emperor came forth, and the general was brought before him, to whom the emperor bid him welcome of so weary journey, receiving his letter. So General Salis departed his way, and I was called in, to whom the emperor inquired of me of the kings of England, concerning their greatness and power, with divers other questions which were too long to write. The next day, the general went with me to the secretary's house, with whom he made known his demands, the which, being written, were carried before the emperor. The emperor then read all his demands, and having read them, told me that he should have them. Having much talk with me of his coming, I told him to settle a factory in his land. He asked me in what place. I told him I did think not far from his court, or the king's court, at which he seemed very glad. And having had much speech here and there, he asked me if part of his coming was not to discover farther parts to the northwest or northwards. I told him our country still does not cease to spend much money in discovery thereof. He asked me whether there was not a way, and whether it was not short nor near. I told him we doubted not but there is a way, and that very near, at which time he called for a map of the whole world, and so saw that it was very near. Now concerning myself. Having dispatched General Salis's business, I did speak unto the council to speak on my behalf to get leave to go home to my country, but the secretary would not speak for my liberty to go to my country, knowing that I had divers times made request, and he would not let me go. So I nevertheless made myself somewhat bold. Finding the emperor in a good mood, I took out of my bosom his broad seal concerning certain lands, and laid it down before him, giving my most humble thanks for his great favour unto me, and desiring leave to go for my country. At which request he looked earnestly upon me, and asked me if I was desirous to go for my country. I answered, most desirous. He answered, if he should detain me, he should do me wrong, insomuch that in his service I had behaved myself well. And so, I thank God I got my liberty out of my long and evil service. Our good friend, Captain William Adams, who was so long before us in Japan, departed out of this world on the 6th of May last, and made Mr. William Eaton and myself his overseers, giving one half of his estate to his wife and child in England, and the other half to a son and daughter he has in Japan. The copy of his will, with another of his inventory, or account of his estate, I sent to his wife and daughter via Captain Martin Pring, their good friend, well known to them for a long time past. And I have delivered £100 sterling to divers of the James Royal Company, entered into the purser's book to pay for 2-for-1 in England, which is £200 sterling to Mrs. Adams and her daughter. For it was not his mind that his wife should have all, in regard that she might marry another husband and carry all from his child, but rather that it should be equally parted between them. You've been watching Voices of the Past. Thanks again to MyHeritage for their support. Use the link below to try their 14-day free trial. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.